Well, it's a great opportunity to be together and to spend time studying God's Word, isn't it?
Ah, thank you. Thank you. Excellent.
That's good. Anybody want to sip? I especially like water with ice in it, because that means it's not left over from yesterday. We're talking this week about our theme. You can see the theme up there. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. And some of you weren't here last night. We took a look at that phrase and we just looked at the words of that phrase. I pledge, I make a vow, I give a promise, I take a solemn oath of allegiance. And we said the word allegiance means a bond of faithfulness or commitment. It means dedication. It means to be devoted. To commit yourself and direct your attention to one thing or one person. Allegiance means to consecrate yourself and to focus yourself toward only one goal. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. And you know, this is incredible. This is really an amazing thing to have a group of young people like this come together to talk about this subject. But I've got to tell you that there's a lot of people who think we're crazy. There's a lot of people that at your school or your neighborhood would think you're really nuts to be here and to sit around for the weekend and hear stuff like this. You've lost it. I mean, you're just out of sync with a lot of people. But I want to tell you that what you're thinking about this weekend is probably the most important thing that you could ever think about. And it really affects your whole life and all that you are and your future, your past, your present, your family, your community, your world is affected by what we're talking about today. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Who is this Lamb? Who are we talking about when we talk about the Lamb? Well, we saw last night, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And He's called the Lamb because of what He did, His work. He's God come in the flesh to be our sacrifice, to die for us, as the Lamb of God on the cross, to take our sin on Himself. And we saw those beautiful passages of Scripture in the Old and the New Testament. He is our Passover Lamb. He is the one who has shed His blood to take our sin so that we could be forgiven, so that death could pass over us, that we could enjoy life in Him. That's why He's called the Lamb. Why should I pledge allegiance to Him? Well, He's God. He's God. He's the Creator of everything. And that's why we're going to look at this little phrase here in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. It says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. See, the Lord Jesus is pictured for us in the Bible as the very one who has created everything. That you read Colossians chapter 1 and it tells us that through Him everything that has been made was made. Hebrews chapter 1 tells us exactly the same truth. Our Lord Jesus is the one who has made everything. John chapter 1, it's made for Him. Revelation chapter 4, it's made for Him. He is the Creator of all things. And it says in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1, remember now your Creator. Why should I pledge allegiance to the Lord Jesus? Because He's the Creator. He is God. And He is worthy. We saw those passages last night in Revelation. He is worthy. The angels and the saints, the cherubim, the seraphim, all the host of heaven bow down and worship Him. And they declare, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. He is worthy for our allegiance. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our commitment. Nobody else is, but He is. And then we saw that He is the judge of all. Revelation 6, there are going to be some people who are going to run away from Him and be terrified before the face of the Lamb. And it speaks of the fury or the wrath of the Lamb. You say, wow, a lamb. But you don't think of a lamb as having wrath and fury. Well, you see, the Bible tells us that this Lord Jesus, who humbled Himself even to the point of death, now has been highly exalted by God and given the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And you see, He was the Lamb that was slain, but He is also pictured for us as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Imagine, at least a lion and a lamb. And in his first coming to this earth, in his humiliation, he came as a lamb and he subjected himself to this world and the things of this world. He subjected himself to suffering. He subjected himself to death on the cross. But when he comes again, he won't come as a lamb, but he will come as the lion. And people will be terrified when they look on the lamb who was slain. Why should I pledge allegiance to him? He is the Savior. He is the Savior. Remember John the Baptist, as he was there standing on the banks of the Jordan River and he saw Jesus coming. And it's very emphatic there in that passage. He doesn't just say, "Oh yeah, look guys, there's the Lamb." No, it's very emphatic. "Behold, the Lamb of God!" Whoa! You know. But he wanted to get their attention. He wanted to point them. He said, look who he is. Do you understand who he is? The Lamb. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And how did he come to take away our sin? By being slain. To die. Because he came to be the Christ. The Anointed One. The Messiah. The Savior. To save us. To deliver us from our sin and our bondage. To save us from ourselves and our sinfulness. From condemnation. He is the Savior. And he loves us so much. And he was willing to pay the highest price that could ever be paid. He gave himself. That is of the most priceless value in the universe. He gave himself to purchase us, to buy us with an enormous, enormous price. And we're told, therefore, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Glorify God. Glorify God. He has paid for us with a great price. He is God. I should pledge allegiance to. He is the Creator. He is worthy. He is the Judge. He is the Savior. He has paid for me with a great price. How should I pledge allegiance to Him? Well, the first thing we need to do is to get saved. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. That's how you pledge allegiance to the Lamb. You give yourself to Him. You commit yourself to Him. You receive Him as your Savior for His blood to wash away your sin, to start a new life in Christ. You need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Get saved. And then you need to commit yourself to live for Him. To commit yourself to live for Him. We ended last night and we talked about three things. About being transformed. About letting Him lead you. And then we talked about this last little phrase. This one thing. Now if you'll turn in your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Some of you can quote this from memory, I'm sure. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. This gives a little kind of summary statement of this whole idea of pledging allegiance to the Lamb, receiving Him as our Savior, and then allowing Him to transform us and to change us. Romans chapter 12, he says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You see what he's saying here? He says, because of the mercies of God, because of the grace of God, because of the love of God in Christ, because of this wonderful salvation that you're given in Christ, he says, now present your bodies as a living sacrifice to Him. As we receive the Lord Jesus as our Savior, so we commit ourselves to live for Him. And we give ourselves to Him. We put ourselves on the altar, as it were. And we say, "Here we are, Lord. You've loved me so much. You've done so much for me. You've been so good to me. You've been so kind to me. You've been so gracious to me. What else can I do but give myself back to you?" The hymn writer put it this way: "Love so amazing, so divine, demands my heart, my soul, my all." Present your bodies as a living sacrifice to Him. Remember now in your youth your Creator. Sometimes I think young people look at passages of Scripture like this, you know, present your bodies a living sacrifice to God, don't be conformed, this will be transformed. And they say, that's for my mom and dad. That's for their generation. That's for my grandpa, you know. That's good for him. But for me, hey, I'm young. I've got life to live. I've got energy. I've got places to go. I've got stuff to do. I'll think about all that radical stuff later on. Sure, I don't mind going to church and youth group and da-di-da-di-da, but hey, you know, I don't want too much of this in my life. I still want to do my own thing. You know, I still want to set my own agenda. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, remember now, in the days of your youth, your Creator. Pledge yourself in allegiance to the Lamb now. Don't think of it as tomorrow's job. Don't think about it as when I'm finished college. Don't think about it in terms of, you know, if I can just have this little bit of fun, if I can just do this, if I can go there. Don't think of it in terms of future. But the word is now. The Scripture says, today, if you hear the Lord's voice, do not harden your hearts. Sometimes the Lord may speak to us, and we feel Him tugging at our heart, and we feel Him telling us something, but we kind of want to put it off, you know. Ah, it's okay, the Lord's talking to me today, and He's asking me to do something. It's okay, I can put it off today. I'll do it next week. Be very careful, people. Be very, very careful. What I've found in my life is the times that the Lord has been so gentle and has been talking to me, and I've shut my ears and I've shut my heart and I've put it off and I've ducked away from there, thinking that I can just come back to it later on. But my heart becomes hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, by my own selfishness and pride and the cares of the world. And later on, you find that your heart is closed. You're not open to that calling of the Lord. It kind of slips away. You've shut it out. And then when the Lord wants to speak to us, He's got to shout a little bit louder. And He does that sometimes through difficult circumstances, sometimes trouble and trials, tribulations that He brings into our life to get our attention. If you're here this weekend and the Lord speaks to you about pledging your life in allegiance to the Lamb, don't shut your ears. Don't close your heart. Don't put it off. Allow Him in His grace and mercy today to speak to you and for you to respond and to really pledge yourself to Him. Remember now, in the days of your youth, your Creator. And He says, in your youth, now, for you guys here, this weekend, present your bodies as a living sacrifice to God. What makes up your body? Well, you can look at your body and you can say, wow, my hands, they're part of my body. My feet, part of my body. My eyes, part of my body. My ears, part of my body. My mouth, part of my body. My mind and my thinking, it's part of my body. What is He calling you to? He's calling you to pledge every part of who and what you are to the Lord. Every single part of your body to say, Lord, I take this, I give it to you. Maybe some of you have had a struggle as to what you've allowed your eyes to see. And you've allowed your eyes to view things that are impure, that are dirty, that are ugly, that are filthy. And you shouldn't have even allowed those things to cross your path. But you've even pursued it. And you've allowed things to go in through your eyes that are very dishonoring to the Lord. Remember now, in the days of your youth, your Creator. Present your bodies, present your eyes to the Lord. And maybe some of you today, maybe some of you this weekend need to take a solemn oath and a vow and a promise to the Lord. And say, Lord, I'm going to set a guard over what I allow my eyes to see. And when these things come to me, when the temptations come, I'm going to say no. No. Is it hard to do that? You'd better believe it. But Titus chapter 2 tells us that the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. And that grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly life in this present age. In other words, the grace of God that we rely on to bring salvation to us is also the grace of God that we can rely on to say no to sin. And sometimes that no has to be repeated again and again. We have to remind ourselves. And sometimes we have to be very forceful in the way that we say that no. If somebody's pestering you and badgering you and they keep asking you the same question again and again, you say, no, I'm not interested. No, I don't want it. Sometimes you've got to get really forceful with a person. You've got to really put your foot out. No, I mean that. No, I won't do that. You have to do that with sin. You have to do that with temptation. The Bible says, flee immorality. Flee the temptation to commit immorality. Run away from it. Don't stand around. Don't hang around thinking about it. Get away from there. Get out from there. Change your circumstances. Change your friends if necessary. But you see, present your bodies as a living sacrifice to God. Be very careful what you allow your eyes to see. Lord, I present my ears to You and my hearing to You as a living sacrifice. I'm not going to stand around and listen to smut and dirty jokes. I'm not going to participate in those who curse the name and blaspheme the name of the Lord and who allow filthy language to come out of their lips. I'm not going to stand around while people gossip and slander and all the rest. I'm going to get out of there. I'm going to walk away from that. Lord, I give my ears to You, and I want to tune my ears to hear good things. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want to give your hearing to the Lord, and you want to fill your hearing with the Word of God. You want to place yourself in positions where you're hearing the Word of God preached. Listen to the Bible on tape. Spend time reading the Bible. Spend time listening to good, solid, biblical teaching. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Surround yourselves with good friends, friends who will speak the Word of God, who will encourage you in your faith. And maybe you need to cut out some of your friends that you're always hearing the wrong things and the negative things and the things that are tearing you down and putting temptation in your way. Well, I give my eyes and I give my ears to You. Be careful what movies you watch. Be very careful what magazines you read. Very careful what music you listen to. Garbage in, garbage out. It's that simple, isn't it? And check your music. What is the message that is coming through in your music? Whether you can hear the words or not, what is it that is coming through that message, that medium? What is being portrayed? What ideas? Be very, very careful what you listen to. Is it conveying worldliness to you? Is it conveying rebellion to you? Is it conveying depression and darkness to you, as so much modern music does? Then cut it out. Don't listen to it. Many young people are addicted to music. They simply have to have music all the time. Everywhere they go, they've got to put on music. In their bedroom, the music is on. In their car, the music is on. Walking down the street, they've got to have music in their ears all the time. What is it that you're listening to? If it's not glorifying to the Lord, if it's not building you up in your faith, if it's not helping you to love the Lord Jesus more, cut it out. Cut it out. Get rid of it. Change your music. Okay. Take away some of the noise of your life and spend time before the Lord, sitting, listening, praying, seeking His face. Music is powerful. Music is emotive. Music influences you more than you realize. We must listen to godly music. We must allow the things to come that come into our ears to direct us toward the Lord, not away from the Lord. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Remember now in your youth, your Creator. This Lamb that was slain for you, pledge your allegiance to Him. Give Him your eyes and your looking. Give Him your ears and your hearing. Give Him your mouth and your speaking. What kind of things do you say? What kind of conversations do you participate in? What do people hear coming from your lips? Is it good words? Is it godly words? Is it Christ-like? I know it's easy when you're at youth group and church you're around your parents, you're around other Christians to talk like a Christian, but talk can be so cheap. What about when you're away? When you're with those who don't know the Lord, who don't love the Lord, what comes out of your mouth then? If you were to write down and analyze in a 7-day period everything that you said, how much of what you say focuses on the Lord? And how much is just selfishness and sin and pride and worldliness and, you know, what is it that we're allowing to come out of our mouth and our speech? We need to be very, very careful. We need to set a watch over our mouth. The scripture tells us that the tongue is a great evil. It can be like a spark that can set a whole forest on fire. We can be mean and nasty and ugly and critical with our words. We can tear people down. We can rip people's character apart. We can gossip about people. You know, we can start an enormous amount of evil by what we say. That's not what we should do. The scripture says, present your body, present your mouth and your speaking to the Lord. And set a guard over your lips. Make a covenant with the Lord that you won't allow stuff to come through your eyes and your ears, and not allow stuff to come out of your mouth that is not glorifying to Him, that doesn't build people up, that doesn't lift and exalt the Lamb. I pledge my body as a living sacrifice to the Lamb. And my hands and what I do. What I do with those hands. The scripture indicates that we should have holy hands. Clean hands, spiritually, emotionally, clean hands. We need to be very, very careful what we do with our hands. What have your hands been doing? Where have your hands been? Would you have been happy if over the last month Jesus was standing right next to you in body, watching what you have done with your hands? Would you have been quite comfortable with that, quite happy with that? Or would you have been ashamed? If we could write up, you know, on the screen today, everything that you and I have been doing with our hands over the last month, how would we feel about everybody else knowing that? Well, you know what? Jesus has been standing at your side the whole time. The Lord has seen and heard everything that you have said and done, that you've allowed to come through your eyes and your ears, and He has seen what you've done with your hands. Are we proud of that? Are we happy with that? Or are we ashamed? Present your hands as a living sacrifice to God. Pledge your hands in allegiance to the Lamb. This is a high calling. This takes courage. You've got to step out from the crowd. You've got to be willing to be different. To say, I belong to the Lamb. I belong to the Lord. I don't care what people say. I don't care where the world is going to. I don't care what the majority of people in our society are about. My allegiance is to the Lamb. They can think I'm a freak. They can think I'm weird. It doesn't matter. Because I have received Him as my Savior. I have pledged an allegiance to Him. I know whom I have believed. And I know where I'm going in all eternity with Him. It doesn't matter who says what. I'm going to pledge my hands in allegiance to the Lamb. And our feet, the places that we go. Where do we go? Where do our feet take us? What kind of homes, what kind of situations, what kind of places have our feet taken us? Are they good places? Are they places where we have been able to speak about the Lord Jesus? Or have our feet taken us to places where we wouldn't dare mention the name of Jesus in that context because those people would laugh at us? I mean, they would think we were stupid. If you're going into a place where you cannot speak the name of the Lord because you're ashamed, you ought not to be there. You ought not to be there. If you're going in there, it might be a hard and a difficult place, but your purpose is solely for the witness of the gospel, then perhaps it can be excused. But most times, when we're in a place like that, we shouldn't be there. Because it's going to tear us down. And most probably we're there not to serve the Lord, but to serve our flesh. We have to learn to pledge our feet in allegiance to the Lamb. And we have to say, Lord, You show me where You want me to go. Lord, You lead me so that I can serve You. Lord, You direct my footsteps and my path according to Your Word. The Scripture says His Word is a light to our feet and a lamp to our pathway. And if we cannot walk somewhere with His Word, then we're stumbling around in the darkness. And we're going to fall and we're going to fail, right? I pledge my feet in allegiance to the Lord. I pledge all of my body. And this whole question of the way we live and how we live is so, so crucial. And then he says this, holy, acceptable to God. That's the way every part of my body should be. Holy, clean, righteous, godly, and acceptable to God. Just stop and think for a moment. Ask yourself the question in your mind. Is my body acceptable to God today? Is the Lord pleased with the way I've been using my body? In verse 2, he follows it up as an added statement to clarify. And he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Very simple. Two options. Conformed, transformed. If you're conformed to something, you become like it. If you're transformed, you become unlike it. The Bible tells us that if you are a friend to the world, you're an enemy to God. You can't be halfway, right? You can't be partly His and partly not His. It says we have to make choices. And those choices involve pledging our loyalty, our devotion, our love, our allegiance. And who is it that we're going to be pledged to? Scripture says pledge allegiance to the Lamb. And don't be conformed to this world. Don't be like the rest of your buddies. Don't be like the rest of the people round about you. Step out from the crowd and be different. Nail your colors to the mast and say, I belong to the Lord and I'm not ashamed of it. Be different. Don't be conformed. But be transformed. The word transformed there carries with it the idea of a metamorphosis. A real radical and extensive change. It's like the little caterpillar who spins his cocoon and he closes himself in. And after a while, you see something chewing away on the end of that little cocoon and something emerges. And you say, hey, you know, there's a butterfly. How did he get in there? I saw the little caterpillar crawl in there and now a butterfly comes out. I mean, it doesn't even look like what went in. That process is called metamorphosis. Right? It's changed. There's a substantive change, an extensive change that has happened from the caterpillar to the butterfly. The one looks ugly to us. The other looks beautiful. A huge change. That's the word that's used here. Be transformed. Undergo a metamorphosis. Be radically and extensively changed. Be transformed. Don't be like what you used to be. Don't be like the rest of the world. Be transformed. Then he says, by the renewing of your mind. And that's so crucial, so key, right? Present your mind as a living sacrifice to God. As you think, so you are. Before you ever do something, you think it, right? Before you do something, you think it. The idea formulates in your mind, and then you act on what you've been thinking about. It's so important that our minds be given to the Lord and that we be very careful what we allow to influence our minds. That's difficult. Let me tell you, this is not easy because we are bombarded with messages to our minds all the time. Every time you wake up in the morning, every time you turn on the radio, every time you walk down the street, every time you see a billboard, every time you hear a teacher speaking, every time you read a book or a magazine, every time you turn on the television, you are being bombarded with messages that influence your mind. You know, many, many, many years ago, people realized that if you can capture the mind, you've captured the person. That's why way back in the beginning of the 20th century, the secular humanists got together and they drew up their manifestos. And as they sat and they talked together, they said, how can we get these people, many people in society in North America who go to church and are Christians, how can we get their minds turned away from spiritual things onto earthly things? And as they sat and they reasoned together, they said, okay, from their perspective, a secular humanist, God is dead. God is out of the picture. We're all there is. When you die like a dog. There's no afterlife. There's no heaven. There's no hell. This is all we've got. And so we've got to try and influence people. And you know what they decided? They said, we've got to get the education system and we've got to get the entertainment system. Two very important things. They said, if we can capture the education system, we will have the nation. If we can capture the entertainment system, we will have the nation. And they set about capturing our education systems, the way that books are written, the way that curriculum is produced. They set about making sure that secular humanism infiltrated every aspect of education and entertainment. And a key building block of that whole thing is the theory of evolution. That's why evolution is a sacred cow to the secular humanist. That's why if you touch that, there's such a reaction against it. That's why if somebody even suggests, hey, in our schools, instead of just teaching evolution, shouldn't we teach the other side and teach creationism as well? Oh, they'll hoot and howl and scream and oppose that with everything they can. Because they don't actually want to educate people and give them all the facts. Rather, they want to indoctrinate you and let you know and convince you that there's only one side to the story. And that's evolution. And that's secular humanism. This world is all there is. Materialism, that's all there is. And I'll tell you what. Sadly, they've done a good job. The secular humanists wrote right in their manifesto in the 1930s. They said, if we can get the public school education system in our pockets, people can still go to church. But they will not be able to undo in one day of the week what we have indoctrinated the kids for 5 days of the week with as many hours as we have. See, we have to be aware that we have been bombarded with the wrong ideas, the wrong message, with ungodly values that have been inculcated into us. We have to be aware and we have to recapture our minds for the Lord. And we need to soak ourselves in the Word of God. And we need to pray and seek Him and say, Lord, disentangle all of this mess that is in my mind from every movie that I've ever watched, from every book that I've ever written, from all of the influences of society round about me that have filled my mind with ungodly thoughts, with secular, humanistic, materialistic thoughts. Lord, all of that needs to be unraveled. And I need to have a new way of thinking. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word renew means to be renovated, to be remodeled. You know what it means to go into a house and to remodel that house. And to go in and rip and tear out most of what's there and sometimes right back to the bare walls and start again, redo the plumbing and the electrical and everything, redo the drywalling. Extensive renovations, that's the word here. And our minds need extensive renovations according to the Word of God. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And if you want to begin to live for the Lord, if you want to really begin to live and pledge allegiance to the Lamb, your mind needs to be renovated. And there's only one place that you can go for that renovation. It's the Word of God. And the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and He'll cut and hack away inside of your mind. He'll change your ideas and your thoughts and He'll renovate them according to His truth. Thy Word is truth. And how much we need to put on that a belt of truth around us. And we need to commit ourselves so much to the Word of God. And young people, don't think of it as your parents' responsibilities or the preacher's responsibility or anything else. Think of it as your responsibility. Now, in the days of your youth, remember your Creator. Acknowledge Him in all of your ways. Pledge your allegiance to the Lamb. Take your mind and say, Lord, my mind is yours. My thinking is yours. And I want to think your thoughts. And as your mind is changed, as your mind is renewed, so the Lord will enable you to be changed, to be altered, to be transformed, so that you're not living like the world and for the Lord, but that you're learning to live in Christ and for Christ in allegiance to the Lamb. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember, he says. Remember, recall. Call to mind. Think about it. Remind yourself of it. Problem. We forget. We get busy. We get wrapped up in other stuff. Let's be honest, we live in a very, very fast-paced society. There's so many things that we have to do. We're under pressure all the time. We're being pushed. We're rushed. We're going to so many activities. You know, and you get up maybe and you rush off to school, and after school you're rushing to extracurricular activities, and you've got music lessons and sports activities and stuff at church perhaps, and maybe you're doing all kinds of different things, and we're rushed. We're on the go all the time. And in all of that rushing, even some of the good stuff, the Lord gets squeezed out. And it's so easy, just you get to the end of the day and realize, you know, I hardly even thought about God all day. I've just been doing stuff. He says, think about it. Recall to mind. Remind yourself about the Lord. And maybe you need to be creative in things that you can do to jog your memory and to bring you back from your activities and your busyness to think about the Lord. Maybe you need to put a big sign, you know, at the end of your bed or something. Think about God. Right? You know, put it on the dash of your car or something, or put signs all around on the cover of your book or something. You know, think about God. Try and remind yourself. Remember Him. Remember Him and think about Him. It's so important now in the days of your youth. There's a great example for us in the Old Testament in 2 Chronicles 34. 2 Chronicles 34, there was a young boy by the name of Josiah, who was in a very unique position. Josiah became king over Israel. How old was he when he became king? Anybody remember? 8 years old. Can you imagine being a king at 8 years old? I mean, now obviously he had advisors and everything else to help him during that time. But there's an incredible comment that is given to us there in 2 Chronicles 34 about even this very, very young 8-year-old boy. Look at his heart and his mind. What was he all about? 8 years old, verse 2, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and he walked in the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. At 8 years old, this boy had an incredible commitment to God. Wow, at 8 years old, he did what was right. He was concerned to do the things that were godly and good. 8 years old. But here's something. At 16, and many of you are in that age bracket. Verse 3, it says, in the 8th year of his reign. Well, according to my math, if he was 8 years old when he started being king, and it was the 8th year of his reign, so 8 plus 8 is 16, right? So he was 16 at the time. And here's what he did. He began to seek the God of his father, David. 16. There's this little comment, this little phrase that is there. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young. Okay, very, very similar to the comment, the phrase that is there in Ecclesiastes 12. Remember now in the days of your youth, your Creator. Acknowledge the Lord, seek the Lord while you are still young. And I tell you, if even 25% of the people who are at the conference this weekend really made up their hearts and their minds, they said, I'm going to step out. Not just from the non-Christian crowd, but I'm going to step out from the professing Christian crowd, and I'm going to be serious about my walk with God. Yes, even my so-called Christian friends maybe just want to dabble in Christianity, and they don't want to get too radical, and they don't want to get too serious, but I'm even going to step out from among them. And I'm going to say, Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. I'm going to pledge allegiance to the Lamb. I want to live for You, Lord. I'm going to start to seek God with all my heart and all my soul, all my mind, with all my strength. I want to love God. I want to give Christ the preeminence in my life. He's the number one. He comes first. Every other decision that I have to make in life comes underneath my allegiance to the Lamb. Wow. What an impact you could have. Look what an impact this guy Josiah had. He began to seek the Lord when he was 16. And at 20 years old, in the 12th year of his reign, he impacted the entire nation. The entire nation. And he started instructing them and telling them, get rid of your false gods. Get rid of your other ideas. Stop worshiping other things and other people. Focus on the true and living God. Love Him and serve Him. Look how good He's been to us. And at 20 years old, he had a dynamic impact, a far-reaching impact, because he was a young person committed to the Lord. Does that describe you? Are you a young person whose allegiance is to the Lamb? Is that your priority? Is that your first love? The Lord. The Lord God who loved you and who gave Himself for you. While he was still young, he began to seek the Lord. Have you begun to seek the Lord? Maybe some of you are not saved yet. Maybe you've never even begun. Maybe this is the weekend, the decision that you have to face. Leaving behind the world, leaving behind your own agenda. Realizing that you're a sinner, that you cannot save yourself, and that your only hope is in the blood of the Lamb that was shed for you on Calvary's cross. That you need to come to Christ and give yourself to Him and receive His forgiveness and receive His salvation. Maybe some of you have never begun. But perhaps some of you say, I know I'm a Christian. My life has kind of been lukewarm. Just kind of been drifting along. I know that I've been forgiven. I know that I've been saved. But, you know, I've just lacked passion. I've just lacked drive and zeal and energy for the Lord. Maybe this weekend is the weekend when you need to make a major decision, a solemn vow, a pledge of allegiance to the Lord. And you say, I'm tired of fooling around. I'm tired of trying to live with one foot in the world and one foot in the Lord's camp. I want to go all the way for the Lord. I want to really stand up and be counted. I want to be like Josiah to make a difference. I want to be a clean vessel for the Lord that the Lord can use and impact my friends and my family and my community, my world. Maybe this is the weekend of decision for you to pledge allegiance to the Lamb, to really and truly begin to seek God with passion, with drive, with zeal, commitment. See, remember the Solomon who wrote Ecclesiastes had tried everything, and he had everything. He doesn't speak out of a vacuum. He speaks out of great experience. Some of you are thinking, before I get too serious about the Lord, I'd like to try the world. I'd like to see what the world has to offer me. You know, I kind of want to experiment a little bit, and I want to get out there and kind of have fun. Well, I want to share with you that Solomon had tried all of that. And as you read through the book of Ecclesiastes, you'll find that it says Solomon attained greatness. Everybody thought he was magnificent. He had an incredible reputation. People looked up to him. They thought he was just amazing, right? It says he gained wisdom and knowledge. He was widely studied in the subjects of his day. He was renowned as an incredibly wise person. In chapter 2, it says he enjoyed fun and pleasure. He enjoyed laughter and goofing around. He had it all. He tried it all. Chapter 2 and verse 3, it says he gratified the flesh. Whatever he felt like doing, he did. He fulfilled his lust. All of the stuff that is portrayed in terms of our world, the sexuality of our world that is presented to us as if, hey, young people, this is where it's at. This is what you've got to participate in. If you don't do this, you're losing out. And that's what our whole society and entertainment media and industry feeds us all the time. You've got to do this stuff. This is where it's at. You know, if you don't do it, you're the only person who hasn't done it. And all the time, Solomon says, hey, I gratified the flesh. I just did whatever I wanted to do. It says that he drank wine, got drunk, partied. He had many servants, employees. He owned lots of real estate. He said houses, lands, orchards, gardens, vineyards. It says he did great works. He had great possessions of herds and flocks. He was incredibly rich. It says he had all the silver and gold and even more than he could possibly even handle. He mentions all the entertainment, singing and dancing and all the rest that he surrounded himself with. And chapter 2 and verse 10, he says, whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure. any fun, any pleasure, any enjoyment that you can think of, this guy did. And he had abundantly anything he wanted. Many people would look at Solomon and say, that's where it's at. That's where I want to be. That's who I want to be. I want to be like Solomon. But you know, after enjoying all of this, experimenting with all of this, trying all of this, you know what he says? He says it's a grasping for the wind. Ever try to catch the air? It's not a very fruitful exercise. You know? Grasping for the wind. It's a little kid chasing the bubbles. You know, you blow the bubbles and then you run around and you grab the bubbles and you pop them. Well, it might be fun for a little while, but what do you get from doing that? Sticky, soapy hands is about all that you're left with by the time you've finished chasing the bubbles. Might seem fun and cool for the moment, but it doesn't last. And it can end up wasting your life and leaving you very, very empty and feeling very, very foolish. Solomon said, that's what I discovered. After I tried all this stuff, it just seemed so vain. It seemed so empty. It seemed so pointless. I was running around chasing my tail. A lot of activity, a lot of effort, a lot of energy, but I wasn't getting anywhere. And I wasn't accomplishing anything. And he said, I felt frustrated. I felt empty. I felt, you know, so yucky inside when I got to get to the end of this whole thing. That's why he comes to chapter 12 and he says, young people, he says, look at my life. Look where I've been. Look what I've had. Look what I've tried. And he said, I don't want you to have to fall into the same trap I did. I don't want you to have to go through the heartache and the pain and the emptiness and the frustration that I did. He said, here's my advice to you. Remember in the days of your youth, your Creator. Acknowledge the Lord now. Don't make the same mistakes I did. Don't go chasing bubbles. Don't go and try and grasp the wind. It's meaningless. Rather, to the Lord from when you are young, before the difficult days come. And a lot of what we read there in Ecclesiastes 12 is describing what happens when a person gets older. And how sometimes in their old age a person loses the joy of life. When their teeth fall out and their eyes grow dim and their bones creak and they wake up in the morning with the sound of the birds, they can't sleep. All of the things that are described for us there are the difficulties of old age. When he says life can lose its pleasure. If you've ever done any visiting in an extended care old age home, and you've been around people who are old and sickly and people who have lost their minds and people who are at the end of their life in tremendous pain and agony and misery and suffering. You know what I mean when you say that old age can be a curse and can seem like such a hard, hard time. Solomon says, before you get to that, before it's too late, before you're living with all these regrets, he says, now in your youth, do the smart thing. Do the right thing. Commit your life to the Lord. Pledge yourself in allegiance to the Lamb of God before the difficult days come. You know, so many young people today are looking for something meaningful. They're looking for something worthwhile to commit their lives to. A worthy cause that will give their life purpose. A meaningful existence. Well, folks, here it is. Here it is. Pledge your life in allegiance to the Lamb. See, the Lord Jesus told us in John chapter 10 that He was the good shepherd who came and laid down His life for the sheep. And He said, the devil, the thief, comes to kill and to steal, to destroy, to plunder, to ruin your life. But Jesus has come that we can have life and have it abundantly. Real life, meaningful life. Now the devil comes to kill you, to destroy you. He doesn't tell you that. He rather tells you that he's coming with the very best in the world. You know, good stuff, fun stuff. But he's a liar and he's a deceiver. And he wants to lead you down a path of destruction. Now problem is, we have sinful hearts. And that's why the Bible says, there is a way that seems right to a person, but the end thereof is destruction. We say, oh man, that's what I need to do. That's where I need to go. This is fun stuff. This is what I should commit my life to. And we don't understand. We don't realize that the end of it is bitterness, pain, suffering, struggle, and death. instead of going down that pathway of foolishness, we have the wisdom of God's Word that we can turn to. We don't all have to just go through the same process of trying to figure out which way is up. God has spoken. God has revealed His Word. And He has sent His Son, the Lord Jesus, so that we could be forgiven of our sin. That we could be released from the power of Satan and from the power of our own corrupted flesh. And that we could receive life in the Lord Jesus. Real life, abundant life, eternal life in the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You're looking for meaning in life? You're looking for purpose? You're looking for something that will give you direction? Not just for the moment, not just fun for the night, but purpose for all of your life that will set boundaries for your life and define reality and truth. There it is in the Lord Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Let's pray. Lord, You know every one of the young people in this room today. You know everything about them. You know where they've been. You know what they've done. You even know what they have been thinking during the time of this message. There's nothing that is hidden from Your sight. And You know which of these young people really are saved and belong to You, and which are lost and outside of Christ. Father, I pray that indeed You would show each one where they stand, and that You would, by the power of the Spirit, convict them of where their soul is at and their need of Christ. And Lord, I pray and I ask that there would be young people who would be saved at this conference, who would hear Your voice and not turn away, not put it off, not shut their ears and their heart, but rather be willing to be honest and say, I am the fellow, I am the girl that needs to be saved and pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Lord, I know too that there's some young people here who do belong to You and they have committed their lives to You. But they've been living a half lie. They've been living hypocritically, where they go to church and they go to young people's, but outside of their Christian context, they've been participating in things that are dirty and ugly and ungodly. You know them, Lord. You know each one and what they've done. And they need to come to repentance themselves, and they need to confess these things and come back and ask for the cleansing of the blood of the Lamb, and need to pledge themselves afresh and anew to You. I pray that You'd speak to them, convict them. Father, there are some who haven't done anything really bad, but though Christians, they've not really lived for You. They're just coasting along, just lukewarm, just floating along. And Lord, I pray that You'd convict them, that now is the time for them to get serious in their walk with You and to truly pledge themselves to the Lamb and be willing to put their lives on the line, on the altar, and say, Lord, take everything. I want my body to be a living sacrifice to You. I don't want to be conformed to this whole world anymore. I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I want to become more like the Lord Jesus. I want You to work in and through me, Lord, to glorify Yourself and to do great things. I pray, Lord, that You'd speak to those, that You'd stir up the ashes and the embers of their heart and fan it into a great fire once again, that they would serve You with passion and with zeal. Father, each one of us is before You and each one of us has a need. We just pray that You would work in a very special way and that You would answer prayer this weekend beyond what we could ever ask, think, or even imagine. Do great things for the sake of Your name and Your Word, Lord. Glorify Yourself. Exalt the Lord Jesus, the Lamb in our midst, we pray. In His lovely name. Amen. Amen. Did we get the thing set up? Or no? Could we play the song? Sorry about the difficulties last night, but we're going to give it another try here. Listen to the words as this plays. Oh!
reject this world.